The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
If Benjamin Netanyahu is to be believed, we are on the cusp of peace in Gaza. He said last night that he wants all hostages freed in the coming days and said that, and I quote, "I hope that with God's help in the coming days, we will be able to announce the return of all of the hostages, the living and the slain in one go, with the IDF still deployed deep in Gaza." And this is, of course, if the American-backed peace plan comes to fruition and is accepted by Hamas. And Donald Trump has said that he's not going to tolerate delay and that he wants to get this done fast. With us is Alistair Bunkle, who is Sky News foreign correspondent. We've had false dawns before, Alistair. This seems to have more general consensus and momentum than previous proposals. Is it likely to come to fruition?
Yeah, I think this time is much more hopeful for two reasons. One, because a lot of the Middle Eastern countries, particularly the Gulf states, are behind it. And secondly, because, and I think this is the crucial bit, Donald Trump, the US president, is really pushing this home now and trying to take the initiative out of really the hands of Hamas and Benjamin Netanyahu and push it forward regardless. But that also, I think, gives me real sort of pause for some concern, because there are too many, for my analysis, there are too many unresolved issues in the peace plan at the moment. And Benjamin Netanyahu, who seems as though he's being sort of bounced into things at the moment by the US president, is a clever, wily politician, and I think at some point will want to regain control over events when he can do so.
The unresolved issues, as you see them, are what?
Well, they're multiple. Where do IDF troops withdraw back to? How quickly do they withdraw from Gaza? Who is going to take responsibility for Gaza following, you know, any withdrawal and any release of the hostages? Who's going to be the security force that looks after security on the ground, an international security force made up of which countries? Are they going to be palatable to the Gazans? Are they going to be palatable to the Israelis? Who's going to fund reconstruction of Gaza? I think that probably would come from Gulf states or on board. But there is a lot of points to be worked through of this 20-point plan. Quite a lot of them still have serious discussions to be had.
What of the disarmament of Hamas? Because Benjamin Netanyahu said that it can be done the easy way or the hard way, either militarily by Israel or voluntarily by Hamas. Presumably from Hamas's perspective, that has to be a red line.
And they are sort of sticking to that as something of a red line. I mean, disarming Hamas is a very difficult task. And even though Trump and Netanyahu have sort of threatened that, I forget the exact formulation of their words, but essentially that all hell will break loose if Hamas don't go ahead with this deal. You know, we've seen those threats against Hamas multiple times in the past. And I think most Palestinians will tell you that all hell is already and has been breaking loose in Gaza for many, many, many months. And yet the IDF is still unable to locate the remaining hostages, and still Hamas is putting up a degree of resistance.
What, if any, political pressure is Netanyahu coming under at home?
Well, he is coming under pressure from both sides. Societal-wise, there is a growing movement, and there has been for a long time, to do a deal and finally get the hostages out. I think within the IDF as well, the senior command and the IDF, they don't see what the strategy of remaining in Gaza and fighting is. We've seen senior IDF commanders, including the head of the IDF, the chief of staff, questioning the wisdom of going back in repeatedly and into Gaza City. They believe that their job has been done. They believe that they finished the job really some time ago, and what it now needs is a political future within Gaza. But then, of course, Netanyahu's got pressure from the other side within his own cabinet, the far right, who would want to see a total reoccupation of Gaza and an expulsion of the Palestinians who live there. So he's got to balance those and find a way through it that somehow keeps his government intact.
Now, the ostensible original purpose of the attacks on Gaza was to repatriate the hostages. Can the job be seen as being done if that hasn't happened militarily?
I think if it's done through negotiation, through a ceasefire, and all the hostages come out, there's about 48 remaining, of which at least 20 are dead. I mean, there could be as few as 20 still alive. Then I think however they come out, whether it's through, you know, rescue operations by Israeli special forces or whether it's through negotiation and a controlled release of the hostages, then I think, yeah, that is job done. I think what a lot of Israelis will say to you is that job should have been completed a long time ago. And there's been opportunities to do deals and to get the remaining hostages out that have not been, the deals have not been taken by their own government. And there is a lot of anger in Israel that opportunities have been missed.
Donald Trump has sent Steve Witkoff and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, to Egypt to finalize terms on a peace deal. What do you think we're looking at in terms of time frame for this to come to a conclusion one way or another?
I think the Americans in particular are wanting to push this through very quickly indeed and not let any side drag out talks and sort of make sure that anything is delayed through negotiations of the minutiae. I think they want to get the ball rolling on this within a couple of days. It's what Tuesday is, the 7th of October, which would be the second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks. And I think, you know, there will be a hope that the remaining hostages can be released in and around that anniversary to make sure that, you know, they can then start moving through the next phases of a ceasefire deal, which would include the more complex elements to it. I think for Hamas, what they're going to need somehow is a guarantee that if they release all the hostages, that they still have a sort of a US guarantee, I guess, that Israel is not going to say, right, we've got our hostages back. Thank you very much. We're now going to go back in again and there's nothing to stop us.
And what about the situation in terms of Hamas and the support for that movement and that organization? Because one would have thought that the Israeli response to the horror of October 7th was significantly violent to act as a recruiting tool for them.
Yeah, and whether it's a recruiting tool for Hamas or whether it's a recruiting tool for other organizations or organizations yet to be formed, I mean, you know, this again is one of the concerns that senior IDF commanders have, is that the more time you spend in Gaza and the more people you kill and the more buildings you flatten, the territory you take, you are only serving to radicalize a new generation of Palestinians in Gaza. And it's going to take, I mean, it's going to take decades before you can properly rebuild society, not just physically move the immense amount of tons of rubble and rebuild homes and lives in Gaza, but actually get Gazans to a point where if you are really genuinely wanting peace in that part of the Middle East and for Gazans to be able to live alongside Israelis, albeit maybe behind massive security barriers, but at least in some sort of peaceful coexistence, that is going to take, you know, a very, very long time indeed. You know, you yourselves in Ireland have seen how long it's taken following the Troubles to come to some political agreements and then for society to move on to different and to better places. And, you know, if you think about what's been going on in Gaza over the last 2 years, you know, you can only imagine the anger that will be felt for Israelis amongst the population there. But somehow they need to come up with, you know, a clever strategy to make sure that over many, many years that society is rebuilt and rebuilt in a way that doesn't want to then seek revenge against Israel again some point in the future.
And of course, even as we talk about the possibility of peace, the killing continues. In the last 24 hours, reports of, I think, 66 Palestinians, mostly civilians, killed in Israeli airstrikes. What then, Alistair, of the humanitarian situation? How quickly can the necessary aid be put in place if we do get a ceasefire? And is it possible to rapidly alleviate the humanitarian crisis in Gaza?
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible, yes. I mean, if you sort of open the gates, sort of metaphorically open the gates to Gaza and allowed 600, 700, 800 trucks of aid in every single day. We saw back, you know, the back end of this year and the early start of this year when there was a ceasefire in place, that you can quite quickly alleviate the immediacy of the humanitarian situation. It's going to take a very, very long, you know, I talk about the infrastructure there. You know, almost everybody now is pretty much homeless. They've got nowhere to live other than temporary accommodation. You know, that kind of thing would take a lot longer. But getting basic food aid, basic medical aid in there can happen pretty quickly if the conditions are right and that the Israelis allow sufficient levels of aid in. So, you know, it can happen. It definitely can happen. We've seen it happen, but it's got to have the support and the cooperation of the Israelis to happen.
It's Alistair Bunkle, Sky News, foreign correspondent.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.